You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
It's the Merry Little Podcast.
Hello, I'm Jeff Westover, head of the complaint department at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, the internet's longest ongoing celebration of Christmas, now in our 25th year of Christmas Together Online, and this is the Merry Little Podcast, which is almost like our regular podcast, but with half the calories. Here in episode number 3 of the Merry Little Podcast, we get to use this medium for what it is designed, to answer feedback in the ongoing conversation of Christmas. For better than a quarter of a century, we've talked Christmas online, and you've talked back. And it is the result of talking back that we present this episode of the Merry Little Podcast. We released in the past few days episode number 52 of the Merry Podcast for our premier members, where we showcase the top 10 best-selling songs of Christmas. That list contains some surprises, and we knew it would get a response, but we were unprepared for some of the lashback we received for this song not being included in that top 10.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to
That is, of course, the Christmas song, written during the hot month of July way back in 1945 by Mel Torme. He was visiting the vacation home of his songwriting partner, Bob Wells, who was considered by many to be a lyric genius of the day. Torme went to the piano, and there he found written on a pad of paper 4 lines of a verse that we all know so well.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, folks dressed up like Eskimos.
When Wells walked into the room as Torme was reading those words for the first time, Torme kind of chuckled and asked what the words were all about, and Wells said, "It's so damn hot today, I thought I would write something to cool myself off." Torme was almost immediately inspired. Sitting down at the piano, he began to pound out a melody, and within 45 minutes, the pair had completed the music and the now iconic lyrics. The song found its way to Nat King Cole, who fell in love with the tune, and it was released for the first time in the fall of 1946. In that first recording, Cole sang this last line of the bridge.
And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeers really know how to fly.
That grammatical error was released, and Wells and Torme were quick to point it out. Nat Cole was horrified to have that pointed out to him, and the song was re-recorded to fix the mistake. Over time, Cole would record the song 4 times. The differences between these 4 versions are evident. The most common version, the one that everyone hears today on the radio, was recorded in 1960 when Cole's voice had become more gravelly due to his heavy smoking habit. Listen to the difference. Here it is in 1946.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
And here it is in 1960.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
One of the more interesting facts of this song is that it represents the first major Christmas hit performed by a black artist, and it opened doors for future African-American artists such as Lou Rawls, Ray Charles, and Stevie Wonder to produced the hits of Christmas. Cole was, like black pioneers of many industries, a bit of a fighter, and for his version of the song, he insisted on having strings added, even though, technically speaking, the Nat King Cole Trio was, well, just a trio. Corporate producers fought him on this, but it is frankly hard to imagine the song without the strings today. While the song became a huge hit for Cole, it wasn't near a big enough seller in the 40s and 50s to make our list of top sellers. In reality, the song found new life in the 1980s when it began to appear in compilation CDs, while many artists, including Torme, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and others, covered the song after Cole made it famous. It really launched into the mainstream as artists expanded Christmas recordings starting in the 1980s and the digital era. These days, it frequently lands in the top three songs as most played every Christmas season. So to be clear, our list was based on sales and sales alone. Sales do not necessarily equate to song popularity. We didn't include the Christmas song because that song, frankly, just doesn't make the cut in terms of the bestsellers at Christmas. That doesn't mean it isn't a great song. We invite you to join the premier members of the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas, where the entire Top 10 podcast can be heard. Thanks for the feedback, and keep it coming as we continue to celebrate Christmas in July. For MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.